got pace to burn. He runs to 40. Goal unguarded. Bounces home.
Turns onto the right boot. In the right corner.
He's good.
Beautiful.
Grandstand.
From 50, he lines it up.
This one's going down to the wire.
Grandstand.
Puts on the burners. Breaks a tackle. Snaps from 40. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Grandstand.
This is Anthony Lehman, and we have a jam-packed hour for you today. We're chatting with Sydney Swan superstar Isaac Heaney very shortly. Michael Rowland from ABC Breakfast is a mad Western Bulldogs fan. We'll be chatting with him a little later. We'll be going around the grounds to Tasmania, where the Hawks take on Port Adelaide, and we'll be heading to the Gold Coast, where the Gold Coast Suns play their first home game of the year. Well, they've played a few home games, just none of them at home. So their first home game at home. There'll be Stat of the Week, of course, as we bring you the show from the ABC commentary box at the Docklands. And if you want to join the conversation, hit us up on the SMS 0437 774 774. We'd love you to get involved. And specifically, how do you feel about Friday night footy? Have you been enjoying it this year? Let us know on the SMS. Also, for Carlton fans, are you frustrated with how the Blues are travelling, or do you believe your club is on track? That number again, 0437 774 774. As I say hello to Angela Pippos and Michael Gleeson from The Age.
Hello, Lemo.
Hello, Anthony.
You can call me Lemo. Okay. Now, the roof is closed, of course, at the Docklands here. The Bulldogs taking on Melbourne a little later today. The D's on fire. We will preview that game later this hour. But what are our observations from the weekend?
My observation is an uplifting one, a positive one, because I know that we're going to take it down very, very soon and yes, talk about Friday night. I want to talk about Sir Doug Nicholls' round and yep, how fabulous this round is, because so much of this game is brand-driven, it's marketing-driven. To hear men that we love in this sport, and there was Gavin Wanganeen and Eddie Betts and others, talk about what this round means to them, to talk about the meaning behind the jumpers that they're wearing, the ball that Gavin Wanganeen designed. It's been a real breath of fresh air, because we talk a lot about what's wrong with the game. It's so nice to hear these sorts of comments, because it's bigger than football. I mean, this, you know, Eddie Betts was talking about wanting to represent himself, his people, his culture, and he wants to encourage other Indigenous kids to not just pick up a footy, but to, you know, improve their daily lives, you know, because their outcomes aren't the same as ours. So it's a big picture thing, and I've loved it. It's been a really good for the soul type of week.
It's a great celebration of Indigenous culture, promoting a message, of course, of inclusion. And it's a fantastic way for the Australian public to feel more connected to our Indigenous culture as well.
It is, but I mean, it is also a marketing and branding thing. It's just a marketing and branding thing in a direction that we actually applaud.
Well, it's real. I mean,
we're still marketing it to it's changing the brand of the AFL to say, hey, we're a bit more inclusive than that.
Yes.
We are actually recognising what we stand for.
It's meaningful.
Yeah.
And so much of this brand conversation is not meaningful. I mean, it's all about, you know, making money and that's it. So this is something that's, you know, it's important. I mean, it's our nation's shame, the way we've treated Indigenous Australians. So it's any opportunity to talk about it and to inspire and empower Indigenous kids is great.
Yeah, and Andy Cracker tweeted this week the video of the players and Indigenous players rehearsing a war dance inside the Essendon Hangar. And I'm looking forward to that, because that was really impressive. And, you know, hats off to Essendon for doing, you know, pulling them in and getting these guys in, you know, sort of choreographed into this, what will be a really impressive dance. But it was also good to see Adam Goods back at the footy last night,
and was
a good conversation with him. And he was really interesting to talk about, reminding people, hey, it's Mungrook game. This is our game, you know, first. You know, we had it for thousands of years. And I mean, there is debate about the Mungrook, but there is a legitimacy to that argument that it was, you know, Tom Wills founded it based on watching this game, possum skins and filled with charcoal. And
The people's game, as Tom Wills called it back in the day. The highlight of Sir Doug Nicholls' Indigenous round, of course, will be tonight at the MCG, when 80,000 to 90,000 people will be there for Dreamtime at the G. Michael Gleeson, your observation from
Well, I'll take it down a notch after that.
I knew you would.
Well, I found it interesting that we had the debate all week about the Friday, the game that was to come, and then it lived to expectation. But it was the AFL saying, well, this wasn't really our plan, as to have Carlton playing three Friday nights so early in the year, and four overall. And Carlton saying, well, we didn't really ask for them either. You know, it's not, we didn't know, we knew we weren't going to be especially good. You're the ones that put us there. Don't blame us.
Did a work experience kid put this fixture together? Is that what happened?
Well, it was supposed to be about the fact of Friday, Anzac Day being on a midweek, and therefore the four teams that
there
play around that
quirks.
Day.
There
were
some
those
quirks
things
that set off this chain of events.
They all sounded a bit thin, but we ended up with a Friday night game, which pitted, the bottom team against a team that does like a scrap, and it wasn't the most attractive game of footy.
No, I don't think it was. What's your view on Friday night footy? Hit us up, 0437 774 774 is the SMS number. My observation comes from last night's game. The Swans, they were doing very nicely at the moment, but gee, they went the early crow last night. I don't know if you saw this. This is 6 minutes into the first quarter. Have a listen to what comes across the ground loudspeakers last night.
The long kick down the line. He wanted Sinclair. The Swans theme song starts playing over the PA at the
They're
ground.
They're going early.
Going picked up by Heaney.
They haven't even scored.
Kicks it out on the full. Carlton are 1-1.
They're a bit ahead of themselves here, aren't they?
Oh, that is a Sydney side. It's cold. He wants to go home.
Sellers very quick to point out that they hadn't even scored yet. We'll be chatting with Isaac Heaney in just a moment. But before we do, let's have a listen to how things rolled out at the SCG last night.
Jones with the 50 takes the advantage of Liam Jones. Great kick. Just perfectly hits the player in Kerr out on the lead. And he marks in the corridor. About 45 out right in front. Looks good off the boot. He's popped it through. Patrick Kerr's got the first of the night. And Carlton kicked the opener.
Angle to the left here. Charlie Curnow thumps it hard as long as he can. He's kicked this superbly. What a start from Carlton.
He'll kick from about 48 metres out. A little skip on the approach. Jack's kick sails down to the goal at the Randwick end, and he's put it through. So he got a gift on the 50 from the umpire, and he's cashed it in.
Who gives it to Kennedy, thumps it forward to full forward. Carlton with a couple of numbers, but Parker in between two blues, pulls it in for Sydney, 30 out straight in front. Parker on approach. His kick is true. And Sydney wrestles back the lead.
Parker's going to have a ping. Right foot against the boundary line. He fooled us all. He straightens up and spots Heaney, who takes the grab in the corridor. He marks 30 out right in front. And there's a bit of afters as well between the two teams. Heaney's turned his back on all of that. He's having a set shot in the corridor. Great work by the Blues, working in a phone booth to try and get a set shot at goal there. Has to bang this through. 20 out right in front. Lang strolls in, no problems. And Buddy Marks in front of Rowe. Right up against the boundary line at right half forward.
He's giving him 50 here.
It was clumsy. He fell on with his knees.
Franklin moves in. Inside the goal square. Bangs it high up into the top tier.
Newman, he's at left half forward. He's corralled by O'Shea. Near the boundary line. He sends it deep to full forward. McVeigh held onto by Petrevsky. Seaton, umpire on the spot, pays the free kick. McVeigh's ball 20 from goal. He comes in and kicks it truly.
He's going to try and open up the angle. Still kicks a drop punt despite doing that. You're and kidding. It looks pretty good off the boot. Ed Curnow's kicked a sausage from deep in the left forward pocket. Buddy. Inside the centre square, he loads up and drives it deep to the top of the goal square. Needs a kind roll. It sits for Hayward. Hayward was legged and gets a free kick. The tackle slipped from O'Shea. He was just outside the goal square, no more than 5 metres out.
Gets the last kick of the night. Will Hayward.
He just steps around and pops it through for his second. Sydney make it 4 in a row.
The winner of the Goods O'Loughlin medal last night had 22 touches, kicked a couple of goals, and he's been good enough to join us today. Isaac Heaney, hello, mate.
How are you guys?
Yeah, very well. Tell us, on a personal note, Isaac, what did it mean to you, or does it mean to you, to pick up the Goods O'Loughlin medal?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I think for myself personally, it was even more special to receive it from Goodsy and Mickey O, as I was lucky enough to play with Goodsy in his last year at the Swans, and then Mickey O through the academy as well. So for those two to present it to me was just such a special feeling. And I was extremely humbled. And it's all about celebrating Indigenous culture throughout the AFL community. So it was extremely special to me.
And great to see Adam Goods back out in the footy, because he hasn't seen a lot of games over the last few years.
Yeah, definitely. He's obviously a legend of the club, and whenever he's around, he sort of brings excitement to people around him. And he's one of the he's one of the nicest blokes you'd ever meet. And he just wherever he goes, just brings excitement and joy to everyone.
And you were at one point down at half time. Let's get to the game there. One point down at half time last night, Isaac. Did you go in at half time confident that it wouldn't be an issue for you, or were there concerns through the group?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say there's concerns, but I think looking at our first half, the positive side of things was we didn't have a very good first half at all, yet we're still well and truly in the game. And going into halftime, a little bit of a bake from Horse to the playing group, and going out there knowing that we just need to get back to basics and really start getting the contested footy right and shutting off their uncontested marks, which would go a long way to winning the game. And we felt like we did that, especially in the third quarter.
Well, Isaac, John Longmire said that you played in patches. So have you got a better understanding now, you think, of what makes you play like that?
Oh, it's obviously the quality of the side, I think, that you're playing against. This year, there's no easy wins this year. Any team can produce a really, really good game. And like Carlton did in the first half, they pressured us and they controlled the footy a lot better than we did. And full credit to them. They're a good side when they're up and about. And I think that was the main reason to why we're a bit patchy. But also, we're still trying to find a bit of consistent form.
Isaac, Carlton did do that. Their recipe for playing Sydney appears to be to try to possess the ball and control the ball. Was that the essence of Horse's message at halftime to try and break them down with that you had to push up harder at them? And what do you do week to week? Because it seems to be a formula that a lot of teams are applying.
Yeah, definitely. I think this day and age, it's like you chip it around and it really wears down the defence, and you seem to do a lot more running than you probably should. And like you said, it was a matter of pushing back up and sliding with method. You don't want to slide too hard and leave four or five of them out back where they can just switch it and then go fat side. So it's just a matter of getting that balance right. And then another message from Horse at halftime was just contested footy, just getting our hardness back. We weren't to our standard game in the first half, and we just had to get back to that.
Well, you probably just edged out one of your teammates in Callum Sinclair for the medal. He was really impressive, and probably in the broader sense of your season, the emergence of someone in that role is as important as anything for the Swans.
100%. Yeah, you look at our ruck. Rucks at the moment, we've sort of gone down a little bit short, and Sinks has had a big role on his hands, and he's absolutely relished. And like you said, he's been extremely consistent for us this year, and to be our only ruck all year is a massive job. And like you said, I probably stole it off him a little bit last night, the Mincio and Goodsy medal. He was really good last night and has been all year.
He might have to get back in the gym, though, because he seems to go to ground pretty gently after a fairly mild bump. What'd the umpire say to him about that?
Oh, I'm not too sure. Yeah, other than get up. No, I'm not too sure exactly what was going on there, but I know a couple of the boys weren't too happy with how soft he went down. So it's something that he can't be doing. It's just not in the sport of the game and not the way we like to play things. So, I'm not a fan of it, but he can do what he likes.
All right. Sadly, Logie nominations were out last week. If they came out a week later,
he could have
picked something up there. If he did miss that, it was a gentle shove from Paddy Cripps, and he went down like a giant sack. Hey, another highlight last night for us, Isaac, was Dane Rampey. I'm not sure if you heard him, but we certainly heard it on the footage. There was a holding decision against him. The ball went to Ed Curnow, who got to have a shot at goal. The umpire was Nick Foote. And we're going to play it for you now. You can just hear it here on the coverage. This is Dane Rampey referring to Alistair Clarkson's recent catch-up with Gil McLaughlin. That, of course, was about defenders holding forwards. This is what Dane Rampey said to the umpire last night.
You've got your arms around him and you're preventing him from leading.
Mate, I'm happy with that. Well done. You have a copy of him too?
Thanks, Dane.
In case you missed it, Dane Rampey says, "Did you have a coffee with Clarko? He'd be happy with that." And what I love then is the umpire goes, "Yeah, Dane." were you across that interaction, Isaac?
I actually had no idea until this morning, actually, when the missus pointed it out. And I actually thought, that's pretty funny from Ram. He's pretty witty when he comes to chirping up. And I don't know whether it's the smartest thing to say it to an umpire, but no, he's funny.
Would he be the chirpiest of your teammates?
No, probably not. No, I think there's a few fellas with some good mouths out there. I think Mac is one of those with his experience. And Nick Newman coming through as well. He's pretty chirpy, but
right.
Darling, there's always a couple that chirp up.
Well, Dan Hannavery has become the quickest and youngest Swan in history to reach 200 AFL games. And when he started, he was doing year 12 in Melbourne, wasn't he, and flying up to Sydney. So he started, when it was very challenging for him. What impact has he had around the place?
Yeah, I think he played about seven games while still at school, which is just remarkable. And you look at him, and for myself, as someone I really look up to in terms of leading by example, you go out there and he's not a very big frame, but he throws his body around and he's one of the most physical blokes on the field. And then in terms of running, he's transitions next level and just covers the ground aggressively in attack and defence. And it's someone that you can model your game off, and it shows you why he's been such a consistent player over his 200 games.
Let's talk about the big budster there, Isaac. He is now exactly halfway through his 9-year contract.
Yeah, right.
You're 11 games into his, so he's 4.5 years into his 9-year contract. He's kicked 305 goals in those 4.5 years. How do you assess the first half of Buddy's contract?
Yeah, obviously pretty impressive, that's for sure. He's a freak, bud. He just comes out and even if he has a quiet game, he's still kicking 3-4 goals. And and like you saw last night, he can do some pretty remarkable things.
Does he? I mean, he clearly, we stare in wonder at some of the things he does out on the ground. Is he like that on the training track as well? Are you often left open-mouthed on the training track at what he's doing?
All the time. I mean, no one can defend him. It's crazy. You got some good ball movement through the midfield, and it's pretty much pointless trying to defend him. He takes the ball on, and the way he moves for a big fellow, 200 centimetre fellow, and can move like he does. He's extremely quick, and he's just strong, and you can't tackle him. And it's like you said, he's just a freak of the game, and it's obviously shown.
Yeah, he probably needs a contract extension.
Just to interrupt on that, if he kicks another 305 in his second half of his contract, he'll end up on 1190, which will put him fourth on the all-time list.
Yeah, but he'll be in a nursing home at the time. Just back on that, on Dane's comment. Now, it was funny and it was a good sort of jibe of the umpire, but your coach wasn't happy with what happened at the time, and for Dane to bring it up as well, were the players annoyed that that was brought up and that there was that coffee that was had and that it was sort of pointed at your club as being the one that was one of the ones that was guilty of this grabbing?
No, you can't look into that. I mean, you look into that, you take your focus on off what you're really trying to achieve, and that's getting wins week in, week out. And I think you got to move on from that. I mean, it happened, and like I said, you can't focus on it, and the players don't look into it at all. And obviously, Rance has held a bit of a grudge. But no, we don't look into it, and we move on. And knowing that the umps might be more strict on that sort of rule, so that's the only way we look at it. But in terms of the coffee and everything like that, no, we don't look at that at all.
We are chatting with Isaac Heaney, Sydney Swan superstar.
And Isaac, Callum Mills had his operation on his foot during the week. Has gridiron been banned at the club?
Oh, yeah, horses. Horses has gotten rid of all those other footies except for AFL footies. So, nah. It was just one of those things that it's just extremely sort of frustrating because it was so innocuous that, just a little broken foot from legit just falling over a grate. Like, we didn't even fall over, just a little roll of the ankle, and it was, crazy. And for someone so important to our team to go down, it's obviously a little annoying and frustrating and flattening for Millsy as well as the team. But we've got Marshy coming through, who's playing some pretty good footy and giving us a lot of drive off the half back as well. So shows you that we've still got some depth.
Without dwelling on umpiring, last night there were a lot of free kicks paid. Did it feel like it was an intent to free the game up? There was more intervention from the umpires than that you might see in a regular game?
Yeah, possibly. It's hard to sort of get a gauge out there when you're playing. I think it was. I'm not even sure what the free kick count was. Was it pretty even?
27-22 or something like that. It was quite a number.
Yeah. So To be honest, I don't know how to answer that. I'm not really sure.
I'm not saying whether they were right or wrong, but just whether they felt like there were more being paid.
Yeah, to a point. Yeah, I think there's a few free kicks in the forward 50, which sort of can change the momentum of the game. And I mean, you might only get a couple of entries that quarter, and then you end up kicking a few goals out of it. And whereas the other teams can really force it in there and knock you away free kicks, yet you get it out. So possibly.
Through on the SMS, someone that's a fan of yours, Isaac Heaney, unless you've been texting while you've been talking to us. It says Heaney is a Jet. Not sure the AFL predicted Carlton would be struggling, so every team should get a shot at Friday night footy. Well, the AFL clearly thought Carlton would be going better than they are.
Yeah, but also, did you put a bit of the way the Carlton came out down to the fact that that they had been under pressure and there'd been query on their ability, their suitability for a Friday night fixture, Isaac?
Well, like I said before, I think any team deserves a Friday night fixture because it is so even this stage in the competition that even the team on the bottom of the ladder can really challenge. I think how much they lose by last week to, was it Richmond?
Not much.
They can really produce, and I think it's a matter of mentally getting yourself up and about for that Friday night game and trying to produce, as it is such an important game throughout the week.
Isaac Heaney, before we let you go, you have to play a little game with us called How Well Do You Know Your Teammates?
Oh, no.
We've got three questions here for you. Okay, first up, on Instagram, one of your teammates, the last five photos on their Instagram page are taken in Thailand, Ecuador, Spain, France, and Portugal. Which of your teammates is that?
I reckon that'd probably be Ramps.
Oh, you got it. Dane Ramps.
Yeah.
Very well played. okay.
One.
On the Swans website, one of your teammates lists his two favourite reality TV shows as Geordie Shore and the Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Ooh, bad taste.
Who is that?
There's a few that could be an option here. I reckon probably Will Haywood would be a chance.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Oh, but you are on fire. You're two from two. And finally, when is Heath Grundy's birthday?
Oh, you can't be doing that to me. We've got 46 players. I've got no idea. Has he had it this year or not?
Oh, mate. Isaac Heaney. Nah. It's today, mate.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, gee. Oh, I'll put him a little message.
You might want to get onto that.
We're here to help.
No, normally the Swans post a little Instagram, so that's the only reason I find out.
Right, okay. We'll get onto him today.
Yeah, we'll do.
Congratulations on your personal form and congratulations on the win last night, and all the best against the Saints at Docklands next week, and then what will be a massive game, West Coast Eagles at the SCG the week after that.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good on you. Isaac Heaney there from the Sydney Swans. And they look like they're going to play finals again. I think it's 20 out of 21 years now.
Yeah, they're the Black Knight of football, aren't they? They just they don't go away.
It's
just a flesh wound. They're always there.
They do not go away. And what about the Blues? The 28-point loss to Geelong. Bolts was upbeat, though. 30-point loss last night. Again, Bolts was up.
Well, probably because for about a half they followed instruction of possess the ball, control the tempo of the game, deny them the ball, and they were effective on the score, but they were hitting the score, but they were in front. So there was a lot to like about that. But then they, you know, youthful play, they fell apart. They did put, I mean, Liam Jones is behind the ball later. It wasn't particularly attractive, but
also,
it was effective.
We should mention at the start of the third, they did kick four straight points.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was that inaccurate kicking in front of goal, defensive errors, lots of, you know, silly errors in defence. Look, it was much better than I was expecting. I mean, with all the talk during the week, I thought it was going to be more disturbing than The Handmaid's Tale. But it wasn't. It wasn't as bad as that.
No, but it was a game of last versus a top four, five team. And that's sort of the result that you expect. And the query is only, do we want to see that in the showcase game of the round? Now, no, to the best of your ability to fixture that, no, we don't.
do you support a floating fixture?
If it makes more compelling,
it's hard
games,
to do.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll jump in with my stat of the week.
Have you been invited?
Well, no, because I wasn't invited for stat of the week. I'm going to jump in now with it.
Okay.
And Roy Masters at Sydney. Fairfax columnist, Sydney Morning Herald and Age, wrote a column this week, and he's talking about how rugby league is now basically poised to overtake the AFL in audience numbers. And the figure was that year on year, up to round nine, AFL ratings are down 13.9%, and that the total audience is down from 42.9 to 36.9. They're alarming figures. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about the impact on the game and the potential for the game to be hurt by spectacles like that and by rating, and the broadcast money underpins it. So when those sorts of numbers will be the most concerning to the AFL, and that's when you get the stronger argument to switch to a floating fixture, and when you get a more compelling argument to do things such as rule changes, such as Kevin Sheedy came up with, 16 on the field. You know, back to the old VFA, take the wings off.
How floaty is a floating fixture, though?
Because I 6 weeks out.
Because this is what I think about planning. Because, yeah. I mean, people need time to plan 6.
You are weeks. A great planner.
I am a planner. 6 weeks would probably be enough. But I think it's not that hard to get right in the first place. I mean, I feel as if the AFL...
There's a lot of locked-in things.
Okay, but did you know in October last year that Carlton were going to be a bit rubbish this year? Of course you did.
Yeah. And you knew
I did.
That Melbourne,
everyone did.
You had a strong sense Melbourne would be a good team.
Yeah.
Knocking on the door. Of course, Melbourne, playing on Queen's Birthday and playing on Anzac Eve made it more difficult to schedule them into some fixtures. I get that. Mm. But there are other teams. North, I didn't think would be good this year. They've turned out to be good. So there's the counter-argument to picking it 6 months out. I didn't think they were going to be anywhere near as good as they have been so far.
Yeah, that does make admission. Not many people had North Melbourne in their
top. There have been other issues with, I think, playing. You couldn't have played some in Perth because the bridge was not finished, and so it was more difficult for reasons over there. But I don't think it would have been... I think they were able to come up with a better solution than this one.
Yeah. Well, Brendan Bolton last night, talking about his players, he had an interesting comparison last night. He was discussing how Carlton are slowly finding their feet, and he brought his own son into it at one point. Let's have a listen to what Brendan Bolton said last night.
That, you know, when young kids learn to walk, I think about my little fella Ned, you know. When they learn to walk and they fall over, it's really easy to encourage and pick them up because they're a youngster, and we just got to realise sometimes in AFL football with the scrutiny, and it's important that we don't... put ridiculous amount of pressure and expectation on guys that are growing.
Could his young fella Ned get a game at the moment, Ange?
Oh, Limo. I like his sentiment there. I like that analogy. I think it's a helpful one and a reminder that these are young men, you know, growing and developing. And why are you looking at me like that, Michael? No, and I think I liked it. I was sort of high-fiving at that. I thought that was good.
Quite a funny when you referred to him as a youngster. A youngster. makes him sound older.
Yeah.
It really does. Well, you have kind of kicked us off here, Michael Gleeson. So let's do our favourite segment, Stat of the Week.
25-11-16 to 8-9.
They had, I think it was up to three times as many possessions.
Yep. 70 to get the ball inside 14 times and score 8. 88 possessions for 14 times. And again, that's not excessive.
11 inside 50s, and yet we're only able to score 1 goal 2 to 3 goals 2.
22 more possessions, 382 versus 360.
And my stat of the week is in honour of Dan Hannabury, who played his 200th last night. Hannabury debuted against Carlton. He played his 50th game against Brisbane. His 100th against Carlton. His 150th against Brisbane. And last night, his 200th against Carlton.
Wow.
So we can safely say that he's going to play his 250th against Brisbane. What a glorious sequence.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I knew you'd love that. The sequence, the consistency, the equilibrium, that would appeal to that side of your brain, Limo, and that's why I found it.
I love a bit of symmetry, Andrew Tupos.
Yes, I know.
Here's my stat of the week. Buddy Franklin, career goals, 882.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carlton's 22 players who played last night, cumulative, career goals? 870. So Buddy has kicked more goals than Carlton starting 22 in last night's game.
Let's put a line under Carlton now. Yeah. Let's move on.
There it is. But we still would love you to join the conversation on 0437 774 774. Hit us up on the SMS. Someone here says, thank you, Ange, for pushing through the importance of Doug Nicholls Round to all Australians. For Indigenous people, for obvious reasons, but also for non-Indigenous Australians to discover a deep pride to be intrinsically linked to the oldest living culture on Earth. Yep. Now it is time to welcome into the commentary box here at Docklands our very special guest for today. He's the host of the breakfast show on ABC TV, Michael Rowland. Hello.
Limo. And Michael, how are you?
Hello, Michael. It's so good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Whenever I hear you, Michael, I want you to record an audio book so I can just listen to it for hours.
Okay, Limo.
It's a magnificent voice. Now, you are, of course, a Bulldogs fan, and you're here to watch your doggies today. Let's go back in time. Why are you a Bulldogs fan, first up?
I'm a bit of a Johnny-come-lately. I've only been behind the Dogs for 8 years. We were living in Washington. I was a correspondent over there with the ABC, and we returned in 2010 with a son, Tom, who was going into primary school here, and we moved back to Yarraville. And it was a bit of a no-brainer. It was shortly after that he was going down to Wozkick, and the Bulldogs were sending players down, and decision made, and I've been a rabid Dogs fan ever since.
Yeah, right. So when you were in Washington for a number of years,
yep,
as the ABC correspondent to North America,
yep.
Were you following the AFL at all over there?
Not really. In fact, one of my highlight social moments was, I think it was 2005 final with the Sydney Swans, and I forget who were they playing. The Australian Embassy in Washington put on a special night.
The West Coast.
West Coast, yeah. And I was friends with one of the other journalists who was a mad Swans fan. Anyway, long story short, of course, given the time difference, kickoff wasn't until about 1 o'clock in the morning over there. And it was a long, long morning. But I didn't really follow it. I tried to get around Gridiron. Went to a couple of Gridiron games.
Basketball, no good for you over there?
No, wasn't really into basketball back then. I'm into it now. Well, I wish I was back then. I would have had fantastic opportunities, but yeah.
So Bulldogs fans talk about, you know, the pain of being a Bulldogs fan. I guess for you, 8 years, it's not so bad, and you've seen a premiership. So let's talk about where you were and how that felt when the siren sounded a couple of years ago.
We had a do at my place, which is in the shadow of Witten Oval. It was fantastic because we had lots of friends and fellow fans, Bulldogs fans at my place. But with every goal the Dogs kicked, we'd hear the roar sweeping over our house, Witten Oval. Lots of people went there to watch it on the big screen. We won and we were just part of the group's laying assault to the local shopping centre and the local pubs. It was just a really great moment, a great moment for my son and a great moment for all his mates too, actually, after only being with the club for 8 years and not the long 54 years, yeah, actually, yes, enjoying some success. So been a bit different since then, sadly.
At what point, as a Bulldogs fan, after that flag, do you think, oh, this isn't a hangover anymore? This is actually the new normal now. We're not the premiership window team.
Probably towards the end of last season. It's interesting reading Chris Grant's review of the 2016 season in the Herald Sun this morning. He is so right. The planets lined up. The ducks were all lined up in a row. That magic month of football in September 2016. We had a great side, and that's taking nothing away from the team. We deserved that win, but everything went in our favour. But Murphy left, Matty Boyd left. We had a majority young side already, and we lost that talent, we lost that experience, we have been as you say, Michael, a team that has been struggling to get our mojo back ever since then, because we just don't have the runs on the board in terms of games and years' experience.
For a long time, it did feel like if we could just get Tom Boyd back out there, if we could just get Libba back out there.
Yep.
Things would be right again, but the game moves on quickly as well, and it probably did illuminate the fact that how perfect the sort of symmetry was in that 2016 season for everything to fall into place just so well.
And lack of experience on the field is one thing, but your other observations about this season, what else would you say about it?
We suffer injuries, at a greater rate than any other AFL.
Cry me a river. I'm a Crows fan. I know all about injuries.
There might be some GWS fans.
Actually, there's not.
Neither of the GWS fans are listening to us right now. If you are a GWS fan, send us an SMS, 0437 774 774.
Yeah, kicking ability is letting us down. Lack of forward momentum. Tommy Boyd hasn't been playing at his best. We just need a lacking strength up front, and I don't know, and kicking accuracy as well. I just don't know how we improve that.
And you've drifted down the contested ball ladder as well. Yeah. In 2016, you were atop that ladder. You were midway last year, and now I think you're 16th for contested ball as well, which is not ideal.
No. Yeah. Do you reckon that's the case of the other teams catching up? Because we were par excellence with contested ball, again, through most of 2016, and it was certainly in that magic month. Or is it a case of us just slipping off the radar?
It's no coincidence that the teams at the top of the ladder tend to lead the contested ball ladder as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit of personnel too. Mm. Yeah. We've got out there at the time.
Now, the Bulldogs were, for years, everyone's second team. I mean, the Swans were for a long time as well. They won in 2005. And then the Bulldogs were everyone's second team. And a part of me, I feel like that romance is lost now. Do you get... I mean, you're never going to hand back a premiership. But is there a tiny part of you sad for the loss of that the romance that was attached?
Oh, yes. And I think a lot of that perhaps transferred to the Tigers.
Yes,
because they had their own fairy tale story at the end of last season. But no, I mean, I still come across lots of people who still say the Doggies are their second team. They love the magic of the way they played, all the past superstars. So I think it's some of the edge has been rubbed off it, but I still think a lot of the magic is still there. The team is still very tight. It's a fantastic group of young blokes. Lots of respect and always will for Bevo. I think he's doing the right thing. It's just, again, dealing with a fairly young group of people. And fast forward to 2019 and 2020, I think it'll be a remarkably different story on the track.
Presumably, though, because there is still a rump of those players there, yes, and it is still fresh, the premiership, you don't come into games thinking, you know, that you're going to be what? This is still, you'd come in with optimism to every game still, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
You'd be thinking you're going to win every game.
Yep. And I dearly hope that that's what's being thought in the dressing room below.
Well, clearly you thought it in your own dressing room. You're wearing Bulldog socks.
Yeah, they're pretty snazzy, aren't they?
I'm just admiring them now. They're fabulous. Now, this
great
is
socks
this...
and a great scarf there as well. We're chatting with Michael Rowland from ABC Breakfast, who is a mad Doggies fan and has joined us in the commentary box here at Docklands to watch his Doggies take on the D's today.
This is a daggy question, but like, who's your favourite player?
I'm a dag. My favourite player, I like Easton Wood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I love him on the track, and I've dealt with him. I've done various president's lunches and various other social things at the club. And in fact, I know his dad, Phil, who had another son, Easton's step. Brother playing with my son Tom for cricket at Yarraville years ago. And Phil, if you're listening, hi. Phil's a fantastic human being as well. So, yeah, Easton, for all those reasons.
So a few weeks back when Easton Wood was playing at the Adelaide Oval and against the Crows, and someone leant over the fence and tapped him on the bum, did you get protective? And did you yell at the television screen, hands off my Easton Wood?
Hands off his posterior. Yes, I might have. But what a fine posterior it is.
I understand the temptation.
You felt the same when Ray Chamberlain was touched last week.
Absolutely.
He is built like a brick, you know what.
Yeah, he is indeed. Now, Michael, what sort of a fan are you? Do you do a lot of yelling at the football, or are you more sort of Churchillian? Do you sit back and not utter a word?
I'm Churchillian. I'm always conscious, given what my morning job is, that, displays of passion may be read the wrong way. And look, you know, there's that idiot breakfast TV presenter acting like a goose. Listen, I get passionate at times when I think we should be playing better. Sadly, I don't actually get to come out to a lot of the games because we're in the kids' sporting vortex, which takes between football and basketball, takes out Friday nights, takes out Saturday nights, takes out Sunday afternoons. So Saturday afternoons, and thank you again for the invitation, is about the only window we get to actually come to games. So I've only been to about three, I think, games so far, home games this season. Love to come to a lot more. But when I do come, yeah. It could be a bit different today because I'm linking up after this with a good mate, Steve. And hello, Steve, if you're listening, who is a one-eyed demon supporter. And we've watched games in the past years, and it's been a happy experience for me. I fear it may be a bit more challenging this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I think last time you guys met here, the D's won by about 57 points, I think, here at Docklands. I think round 13 last year.
We've had a couple of blowouts as well against them in previous years. So that's the thing with these two teams. They have never, in the last five or six games, been close contests. One side has had a blowout win.
I hope it's not like it was for my Crows last weekend in Alice Springs. That was really hard to watch, although it's part of the master plan. It's part of the master plan.
91 points. So if we get below 91 points today, that was hard. We're doing well.
That was hard for everyone to watch, Anne.
Yes.
As we called them during the week, the Melbourne Demons took on the Adelaide Witches hat.
Right. last Sunday in Alice Springs. That's a fair comment. It was awful. So to today's game, Melbourne has had a great month. You know,
they are
playing beautifully. They're kicking a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And all of that. But football is a funny game.
It is a funny game.
Do you give yourselves a chance?
Oh, I do. Yeah. We've got the bye next week, so we can go all out with the knowledge that we've got 2 weeks to bounce back. And we really, you know, we should not have lost last week, certainly after the strong first half. And I think we want to make amends for that pretty appalling second half experience, the goalless second half experience. I think we can. I'll tell you what, the big difference is going to be Dale Morris. Our very own, you know, it's about to be renamed Marvel Stadium, our very own superhero.
Yes.
He has broken every limb, every body part in the last 3 or 4 years. He only did his knee back in, February, and here he is running back onto the field in June. He's a fantastic player, but getting back to the point about the young players, he has a lot of respect amongst the younger kids out there, and I think him being on the field is going to be such a huge momentum boost for our team, so that would be a really good thing.
Is it true that Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, has played a role in getting you back on the track?
You'd certainly reckon so.
And you do have one of the great names in football, Mitch Honeychurch.
Honeychurch, he's back as well today.
That is a very strong name.
It is a strong name. Mm. Hey, how's Virginia Trioli coping with Carlton season?
Not well. Hello, Virginia. She threatened to go berserk at me if I rubbed it into her. So I'll blame you, Angela.
Oh, dear.
No, there's one thing better for me being a dog supporter this year, sitting next to a Carlton supporter. So it's been a challenging season.
The only shame is that they played. You want them to play on Sunday so you can get right into her on Monday morning.
Yeah. No, we have our moments, but... So it's not too bad being a dog supporter on that basis.
Now, an SMS has come through from a GWS fan.
Oh, there we go.
Michael Gleeson, your doubter. They say, GWS fan here, interstaters rule, any team but a Victorian one. End the MCG home ground advantage for grand finals.
We'll get to one and we'll talk about it.
That's locked in for a long time.
You are getting zero sympathy from Michael Gleeson. I've got to say, 0437 774 774 is the number if you want to hit us up on the SMS. And on the fixturing, someone here says, no media bod ever thinks North will be any good. And I've got to say, they are the most... Year on year, the most underestimated club, aren't they, North Melbourne?
Yeah, I've also got to say, we did go to a briefing with them earlier in the year. They said, we're probably not going to be that good.
They underestimated.
I mean, no, they didn't put it that way. They said, look, we don't know how good we'll be, but look, this is the process. This is the stage we're in. So.
Yeah, thank you, Sue. You make a very good point there. They are
absolutely
underestimated a lot. We're chatting with Michael Rowland from ABC Breakfast here at the commentary box at Docklands in the lead-up to the D's game here today. And the D's, though, they are, I mean, you know, Michael, don't worry about this too much, but the D's are on fire.
Oh, they are. And previously we'd have said, oh, it's at Etihad Stadium, so, you know, Melbourne will won't turn up like their fans, but now their fans are starting to come to the ground, and partly because the Demons are playing it well. And they're playing
18,
every grand well.
18 straight quarters,
yeah.
And the record is 21. So, Michael, I'm using my calculations here. They may well pass that.
And the coach as well, Ange. He's very focused at the moment, isn't he, Simon Goodwin?
Oh, Simon Goodwin, yes. And at his media conference yesterday, he used the word Fugazi, which was taken from The Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, let's have a listen to Simon Goodwin.
They say, but internally, it's Fugazi, which means... it's noise.
Can you do your best Matthew McConaughey impression from Wolf of Wall Street?
It goes something like Fugazi, it's woozy, it's a wazzy.
All right. And let's see how good that impersonation was. Here is Matthew McConaughey from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Fugazi, it's a wazzy, it's a woozy, it's a...
I can barely tell the difference between the two. Ange, but they're blocking out the external noise.
Blocking, that's what he was talking about. And, you know, they should listen to some of the external noise because it's all been really positive for them. That can't be a bad thing, though, just
well,
to
it can
soak
be.
Up some of
if
that.
If you start to believe too much of the hype, it can be. So I think that's what he's saying. Like,
come
you know,
on,
people have got them getting
the
flag already and into the grand final already.
Enjoy
and
it. It's sport. Yeah. Nah, soak it up.
They listen to
grab the moment, seize the opportunity and all of that.
Yeah, they listened to the external noise last year and they ended up inviting people to join them in the finals. That was a little awkward when they didn't make the finals. Let's head around the grounds here on Grandstand. And the Gold Coast Suns finally are playing a home game. Well, as I said, they've played a few home games, but this one is actually at home. Quentin Hull, there must be great excitement amongst the Gold Coast Suns.
Well, I thought Geelong had picked a team in Commonwealth Games mode when you consider the middle distance running history of Mark Blitzarves, the pole vaulting prowess of Jed Buse, and the fact that Jack Henry was a good young decathlete. Maybe the Cats had better tell them that they'd better bring their footy boots and not their running spikes.
Right. You make a very good point there. And is this being billed as the Gary Ablett Cup today? It is, of course, his first game back against his old side.
It's going to be a bit of fun, and in a sense it takes us back to 2011 when we had our first ever game at Carrara. There was a bit of a wait there as well for the ground to be finished. They played in round 10 when the Cats came all those years ago. So similar position of the season, round 11, similar opposition, but of course Gaz was in the red and gold of the Suns then, and it's great that he's back and looking like he's starting to get closer to full fitness. Absolute legend of both clubs. It adds a nice element. But I'd be interested to scope the broader feeling of Cats fans before this one. Because essentially, from the Suns' perspective, they are looking at this as a new season. I mean, the second half of the year, they've, of course, travelled all over the place. We know that. They get some great names back today. Tom Lynch at the top of that list. Jack Martin, Sam Day as well. No small inclusions either. So from the competition's perspective, if Gold Coast is to play any hand whatsoever in shaping the bottom portion of the eight, they've got to show something today because they've had their week off, they've got their stars back, and I think it's a day that is really important in the early history of Stuart Dew and the Suns because they've got to show something because, look, the Cats are well and truly inside the eight, but they're not flying, are they?
Yep, true. Well, Adelaide's Tom Lynch has been looking at houses in Melbourne. What's the other Tom Lynch been up to during his time off?
Posting on social media, Ange, that his playing pass actually has a photo of the Adelaide Tom Lynch and not him.
Yes,
I saw
that
during the week.
I saw that. That's hilarious.
Well, I for one am desperate for both Tom Lynches to end up at the same football club last year.
No, that's because you're not a caller, Limo. Don't do that to us. Don't do that.
True.
Okay, you're going to have to come up with nicknames for them, Quentin, to cover that off. Well, happy calling today, Quentin. Thank you very much. It's Quentin Hull in Queensland there. Now let's head down to Tasmania. It's been a big week for Tasmanian football. Gil McLaughlin was down there during the week, and of course the Hawks take on Port today. David Lithgow, how are things looking in Launceston?
Hi, Limo. It looked perfect. It's certainly fresh this morning. The dew was out and it was very chilly, but it's a terrific day's footy. There's not a breath of wind here today. The ground, as we all know, here in Launceston's in perfect order. It looks fabulous. I can't get a read on this game. What we know, Limo, is Hawks play so well here, don't they? They've won 23 of the last 25. I think overall their record's about 45 from 56 since they started here it's over a decade ago now. So Port Adelaide, on the other hand, can we get a read on them as well? I know they're 6-3, but we're not sure they've beaten anyone. I think it's a really good test today because Hawks have lost the last three. Port need to win, and as far as our Clarks and Hawks go, if they get beat today, suddenly there's a little space developing between where they are and 8th spot on the ladder, and that's not what we thought where they were travelling about a month ago.
Hard to see finals actions for the Hawks if they lose today. Makes it a very tough ask. Is this being billed, David Lithgow, as the Jarman Impey Cup?
Well, I've seen Jarman out there talking to some of his ex-teammates beforehand. He's been a terrific story. He's certainly a shining light for the Hawks. He's had a terrific first 6 or 7 weeks. Dropped off of recent times. I think the Hawks are going to be a bit better today. I mean, they've brought back Pioppolo and Burgoyne over the last fortnight, which is so important to their speed. Still no Cyril Rioli today. Port, on the other hand, are very settled, Limo, aren't they? They've had the same team the last couple of weeks. They're fresh off the bye after a week in Shanghai a fortnight ago. Of course, the showdown win before that. So they've strung together a couple. They're 6-3. The questions, I think, will be answered today because it's always a tough ask for any team coming down to Launceston.
As Limo said, Gil McLachlan was in Devonport this week to discuss the future of footy in the state's northwest. What came out of that meeting?
Well, I've talked to all the journos this morning, and well, there's been expletives, and they've said nothing and not much. So we're going to have Adam Smith from the Mercury on shortly in the program to really break us down what actually happened. But I don't think so. What the issue is down here, Ange, at the moment is a bit of a holding pattern. Do you want to continue with statewide footy or bring it back to what it was in the regional groups, which, of course, is the northwest of Tassie, Launceston area, which is the north of Tasmania, of course, and then the southern areas. As it was in the old, it was the TFL, the NTFA, so the Northern Tasmania Football Association, and the NWFU, which was the Northwestern Football Union. A lot of people believe that's the way to go because the 24-year-olds, they don't want to travel from Hobart to Bernie Ange. That's the problem. So you've got a statewide competition which consists of a lot of 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds, a few veterans, but not a lot in the middle. That's the real crux of the issue at the moment. And a lot of the teams still want to continue with statewide footy, but the logistics don't quite add up. It's a really interesting topic.
It is indeed, sure is. And it'll be an interesting game there today at Launceston. David Lithgow, thank you very much. Michael Rowland, thank you for joining us here in the box today.
Thanks for the invitation.
And you are, of course, on ABC Breakfast. Now, as someone who's done breakfast radio for a very, very long time, can I predict the top three questions you get asked by people? What time do you get up?
Tick.
What time do you go to bed?
Tick.
And do you have a nap during the day?
Tick.
Yes, there we go.
Breakfast bingo.
There it is right there. I've been asked those three questions a bazillion times, as I'm sure you
have. What time do you get up?
3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock. Michael, thank you very much. All the best to the doggies today.
Thank you very much, Lima. And Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Lovely to
go
have
dogs.
You here. Go
doggies.
And go the doggies. Michael, a tip from you today on the Dogs-Melbourne game?
Well, the tip is that they could be blown, but it could be a 5-1, 6-1 first quarter. The way the Demons went at at Adelaide last week in Alice Springs, they addressed the idea, you know, we raised that, are they flat track bullies? Because the teams that they'd beaten up on were lowly on the ladder, and they just showed that they'll bully anyone, and they're really brutal around the ball. So if the Dogs bring can contest the game, which has been their sort of bedrock, Melbourne can match them. So I think that I think Melbourne will win comfortably.
Quick tip, Hawthorn Port?
I've gone the Hawks. I think after losing a few, but playing down there, I think Hawthorn will win.
Ange, Hawks Port?
Hawks.
And the D's and the Doggies?
Doggies will win. I mean, they've shot to premiership favouritism for a lot of people, including John Norvey, thinking that... Melbourne.
The D's.
Melbourne. I said, Melbourne.
And
So you are tipping the D's today. And D's. Pippos, thank you very much. Michael Gleeson from The Age, thank you. Thanks, Limo.
Thanks, Ange.
And stick around. We have a very special presentation coming up next, celebrating the Indigenous influence of AFL football, brought to you by Matt Clinch and Charlie King. Following that, South Australian Tasmania will head to the Hawthorn Port clash. Everyone else will be heading back here at the Docklands for the clash between the Western Bulldogs and Melbourne. Thank you for tuning in to Grandstand. My name is Anthony Lehman, but you can call me Lima.